Today we are starting a new series called Kingdom Parables or Parables of the Kingdom. Parables that Jesus told about the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is a big theme in the scriptures. The Jewish people at the time of Jesus were waiting for the fulfillment of the kingdom promises that were found in the scriptures. Verses like Isaiah chapter 2 verses 2 to 3. Where it says this, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his path." Verses like Zechariah 14, verse 9, chapter 14, verse 9. It says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one." See, because of verses like these, the Jewish people thought that when the Messiah comes, when the Messiah arrives, he would immediately establish his kingdom. And what that meant in their mind is that when the Messiah established his kingdom, immediately all sinners, all unbelievers will be punished and destroyed. And there would be only righteous people left on earth in the kingdom. Even after Jesus died and rose again, his own disciples were still uncertain about the kingdom and the judgment of the sinners and the establishment of the rule of the Messiah here on earth. Jesus spoke to his disciples about the kingdom before his death and after his resurrection. He's always spoken about the kingdom. However, they still had questions. They still did not understand. We see in the first chapter of Acts in verse 6, the disciple asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom?" To which he replied, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power." Jesus spoke to everyone about the kingdom. He spoke to the people and he spoke to his disciples. He did so in many ways and through many stories. But one of the ways that he used was parables. And a parable is nothing new for the Jewish people. In their culture, that's how rabbis taught them. They spoke to them in parables. So Jesus was not doing anything new. Parables explain things to us. Parables help us understand things. And parables make spiritual realities clear. You can remember theological truth and doctrines better and for a longer period of time if that theology comes from a parable. If it's a story that you've heard and there's a meaning behind that story, then you can remember that for a long period of time. And that's why Jesus and the rabbis used parables to teach people. However, in order for you to understand, that parable had to be explained. An unexplained parable is just a mystery. It's a riddle that no one can understand. That's why Jesus had to explain everything, even to his own disciples. But I want you to know that Jesus explained the parables to his disciples and to those who followed him, who believed, and not to the rest of the people. The people on the outside, all they got were unexplained parables. So Jesus used the parables to reveal certain truths to his disciples. However, he also used them to veil the same truth from the rest of the people. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, he said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." He was speaking to his disciples. "But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." So Jesus had a double reason why he used parables. One was to explain things to the people that he wanted them to understand. And the other reason was to veil things from the people that he didn't want them to understand. So let's have a look at this parable again. Let's read it again. Go back to Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30. This is the parable that Jesus told. Matthew 13, verse 24 says this. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and he went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And then from verse 36, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds stand for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So imagine the people on the outside who didn't get the explanation. The disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." It is the disciples that named this parable the parable of the weeds. The disciples understood this to be a parable about the weeds, and they didn't get it. And the reason why it was confusing to them is because they didn't understand how there could be weeds in the kingdom. So they came to Jesus and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds." They thought when the Messiah comes, there would be only righteousness and only the righteous. Why is Jesus saying there are weeds in the kingdom? What does that mean? We know that when Jesus started his ministry, he came preaching the kingdom. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." Yet, we see that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." So which one is it? Is the kingdom here or is the kingdom to come? The answer is both are true. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is in our midst. We are part of that kingdom. But the kingdom in its full manifestation is yet to come. The disciples couldn't see that. And they didn't understand that there will be a period of time between the first coming of the Messiah and his second coming and the full establishment of the promised kingdom. This period of time was a mystery to them. They didn't see or understand that from anywhere in the scriptures. So for them, when they have heard from this parable that there are weeds or tares in the kingdom, that confused them. They needed to get the full picture. They needed to ask Jesus to explain to them this mystery. So in this parable, Jesus is saying that there's a time during the establishment of the kingdom where not everybody will be a believer, where not everybody will be bearing the fruit of righteousness. For the disciples, this didn't make any sense. They saw no such form of the kingdom, and they didn't have a theology or a doctrine that tolerated sin and sinners in the kingdom of God. And we really need to understand this. That's why they called this parable the parable of the weeds. They are saying, please explain to us the issue with the weeds. What are you trying to say to us? We don't get it. That's not what we imagine the kingdom to be like. So it's important for us to realize that Jesus is speaking about the time between his ascension and his second coming. That means this parable is about the period of time that we are living in. The first thing that we need to understand is this. We are already living in the kingdom of God. The full kingdom has not yet come. However, as believers, we are already part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus goes on to explain the parable to them. And he starts by saying, he is the one who sows good seed. The people of the kingdom are God's people. The good seed are the children of God, the children of the kingdom. God has planted them. God has planted you here on this earth. Believers are from God, and they are here to bear fruit for the glory of God. God planted us here. We are his. Jesus calls us the sons of the kingdom. If you are a believer, you are a child of the kingdom of God. He has planted you here in this world for a reason. We need to keep trusting him, and he will bring us safely into his kingdom. No one can take us out of God's hands. We are not called to leave the world. We are called to be in the world as representatives of the King of this world. We are here to proclaim his kingdom and his gospel to the whole world. Furthermore, we see that in this parable, Jesus owns the field. The world belongs to Jesus. It may look like God sometimes is not in control of what's going on in the world, but the truth is, God is guiding history and mankind to an end that will fulfill his purpose and his plan. God is sovereign, and he is in control. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler over this earth. Whether we see it or not, this is the truth. From the Old Testament, we learn that God is king of the universe. We learn that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So here, in this parable, we see another picture of that. We learn that Jesus Christ is the king of this earth. Within this kingdom, the Lord Jesus allows Satan and he allows sinners a certain amount of freedom. Yet, over it all, he is still king and he is still sovereign. Jesus is still ruling and Jesus is going to continue to be sovereign over the whole earth. And he continues explaining the parable. He goes on to say that the weeds or the tares are the sons of the evil one. According to Jesus, the world is divided into two camps. Anybody who is not a child of the kingdom is a child of the enemy. He's a child of the devil. According to this parable, Jesus is saying that there are two kinds of people in the world. Children of the kingdom or children of the devil. God has his children and everyone is happy to believe that. But it seems that the devil has his children too. And just as it is difficult to distinguish the wheat from the tares in the field, as you can see in that picture, it's difficult to know who is a child of the kingdom and who is not. And to make things even more complicated, the children of the devil are scattered among the children of the kingdom. It's not like there are two separate camps with exact borders. It looks like through this parable, Jesus is saying that the devil scattered the wheat among the good seeds. Please note that Jesus is emphasizing that we cannot distinguish the children of the kingdom from the children of the enemy. We can't distinguish them simply by looking at them. Someone can be a churchgoer for all of their life and still be a child of the devil. Someone like Judas Iscariot, who spent his time with Jesus, was a child of the devil. He looked like the other disciples. Jesus sent him with the other 12s, two by two. He casted out demons and he healed the sick. Yet he was a child of the devil. Now, are the sons of the wicked ones completely evil all the time? No. The parable, again, is telling us that they look and they act like the children of the kingdom. You cannot tell them apart. See, up until we repented, and up until we turned to God, up until God had mercy on us and saved us, we were all walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 2. Satan is the master deceiver. He works in counterfeits. The tares look like wheat, just like false Christians look like true Christians, just like false teachers look like good teachers. Jesus is saying that at this point in time in the kingdom, both types of people will continue to exist up until the time he comes back. People may at times act like they are tares and live like tares, but they will end up being sons of the kingdom. We don't know. And people may act like the sons of the kingdom and end up being tares or children of the evil one. God tells his servants to let them grow together until the harvest, at the end of the age and the coming of Jesus Christ. Then he will make a distinction as only he can. We are not called to make a final judgment on anyone because we cannot, and it's not our job. That doesn't mean that we can't call people to repentance. That doesn't mean that we can't correct a brother in Christ. That doesn't mean that we can't rebuke in the church. That doesn't mean that we can't encourage people to live a godly life, as Paul instructed Timothy. Those things still go. However, this parable is telling us that only God knows whom are truly his. Allow me here to make a distinction, though, between unbelievers and making judgment on unbelievers in the world and false teachers in the church. We do not know who may turn and believe, and we should always treat people kindly till the very last moment. Yet we need to speak the truth. We don't water down the gospel. We preach repentance and the good news with boldness and with love because we do not know whom God will save. However, Jesus and the apostles kept their harshest words of judgment to the false teachers of their day. And I think we can learn from that. False teachers are the agents of Satan in the church and in the world. They are Satan's counterfeit. Because that's how he works. He works in counterfeits. If we love the church and the people of the church, if we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we would do well in exposing false teachers and correcting people and leading them away from false doctrines that will damn them to eternal hell. We need to preach the truth. We need to speak the truth and keep people heading towards the truth and hearing the true gospel of the true God. So, as I said before, Jesus in this parable is saying that God does not allow his servants to go and get rid of the tares as soon as they are visible. God can see them. His servants, supposedly the angels, can see them and know who they are. but he doesn't want to pull them out. He doesn't want to pull out the wheat while pulling out the tares. Jesus cares for us. Which reminds me of a verse in Romans. Romans 9, verses 22 and 23. Paul says, "What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the object of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory?" This parable is saying that God is patient on the tares or on the weeds for the sake of the children of the kingdom. It is God's will that the children of God in this world are intermingled with the children of the evil one. I think God allows this to train and to test us to become true witnesses for him in preparation for the full manifestation of the kingdom. God has placed you exactly where he wants you. God is patient on sinners and he allows evil in the world in order for us to be perfected and to grow to bear fruit. However, the day is coming when judgment will fall. The day is coming when judgment will fall on all who do not believe. This is the next part of the parable. Jesus is saying that at the harvest, at the end of the age, God will send his angels and they will separate people into two camps and two camps only. The day is coming when God will rid the earth of sin and sinners and everything that causes pain. The angels will gather all unbelievers and all who practice lawlessness, and they will be burned in an everlasting fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's difficult to speak about judgment. However, that is one of the lessons here. There's a time of judgment determined on the world. Those who are agents of Satan, engaging in deliberate acts of evil, will face judgment. Our society does not like to hear words like judgment. Judgment implies that there are standards, there are laws and moral absolutes. Judgment implies that people are doing the wrong thing. Judgment means that there is truth and that there is error. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, no matter what the popular opinion may be. God says there is coming a time of judgment that will deal with lawlessness and unrighteousness. And he is the one that determines what is considered lawlessness and unrighteousness, not man. It is God's judgment, not man's. He will judge with perfect righteousness at the right time. The disciples needed to learn that. They needed to hear that. Because at different occasions when you read the Gospels, you see that they were ready to call down fire from heaven to burn some people. Jesus is saying, leave that judgment for God. After all, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. See, we need to hear this too. Maybe you don't believe that God will judge. Maybe you think that things will continue to go around the same way and nothing will ever change. However, Jesus is very clear about this. The time is coming in God's perfect timing where judgment will fall, and this judgment will be final. Or maybe you were the disciples thinking, God, would you please burn those sinners? We have had enough. Let me remind you that we don't see the whole picture. God is patient on sinners and his patience will lead the chosen ones to repentance. And we don't know who those people are. We are called to preach the gospel to all people. And God will save whom he will save. The people in the world are just doing what comes naturally to them, just as we did what came naturally to us, because they're doing the only thing they know how to do, and that is to behave like children of the evil one, just like we behaved before God had mercy on us and saved us. Jesus is saying that a time of judgment is coming, but he's also saying that the time will come when the children of God will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I don't think anyone knows how to truly interpret or explain this verse, because Jesus himself said, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him." So I'm not going to pretend that I know what that even begins to mean. But I will say this. This world and the things of this world are rubbish compared to what God has in store for us. The things of this world are rubbish compared to what we will be and what we will have in the kingdom of our Father. Jesus finishes explaining this parable by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." It's like when you're talking to someone and you want them to actually listen. So you say, "Hey, listen up. Listen up." This is what Jesus is saying. "He who has ears, let him hear." He is saying, "Listen up. This is important. Open your ears. I'm only going to say this once. Listen up." Listen up to what? What does it mean when, after explaining all this, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear"? Well, he's saying, listen up. Ask yourself this question. Are you wheat or are you weed? Are you a child of the kingdom or are you a child of the enemy? If you are a child of the enemy, then listen up. You are living on borrowed time. You are living in the time of the patience of God. You are living in the time of the grace of God, where God is giving you time to repent and to turn to him for your salvation. However, judgment is unavoidable. It will come, it will be eternal, and it will be absolutely agonizing. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, "Do not harden your heart. God is patient on you, but do not take his patience for granted. Turn to him in repentance, believe in his Son, and be saved." Are you a child of the kingdom? If you are a child of the kingdom, then rejoice, because the day is coming when you will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. The troubles of this world will mean nothing when that day comes. However, if you are a child of the kingdom, do not waste your life. God has put you here for a purpose, and you are to be used by God to reach the sinners near you. We are here to bring God glory, and he will use us for his purpose and for his glory. Amen.